the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. That's James 1, verse 5. What a great promise of God's Word, that if we ask for wisdom, God, who has all knowledge, all power, all wisdom, God says he will give abundantly and will not withhold. Well, welcome to Exploring the Word. This is the program on the American Family Radio Network, where we look at the Bible, we look at God's Word, and Alex McFarland here with Bert Harper. Bert, a country boy like me growing up, I need wisdom. And isn't it good that we can pray to the Lord, and we can read His Word, and we can be led by His Holy Spirit, and from the Lord Himself, we can get wisdom. Isn't that exciting?
That is beautiful, and it goes along with the verse that I wanted to read, or verses that I wanted to read, and you just said it, wisdom comes from God, and yes, and most of the time it comes to those who read His Word and even meditate upon His Word. Listen to Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired than are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. I remember memorizing that passage years ago when I was in college, Alex, and it made me love the Word of God even more when I saw all the benefits of the Word of God. Wisdom is one of them, but fear, the idea of your soul being converted, making you rejoice in your heart, so many benefits by sharing and reading the Word of God.
Amen, amen. And folks, so we're going to give the number. This is kind of a special edition of the program because we're going to devote a maximum amount of time to your questions. So sometimes we kind of say, if you've ever wanted to raise your hand during a sermon, well, now's your chance. And so the number, 888-589-8840, we'd love to have your Bible questions and talk with you on Exploring the Word today. You know, speaking about the gracious nature of God, giving wisdom and not holding back, Matthew 7, and we just finished up the Gospel of Matthew, but I really loved thinking about Matthew 7, where Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened to you." And it goes on in Matthew 7, and it talks about how the Father in heaven, who loves us and who is altogether righteous, He can't help but give us good things. Yeah. And so, Bert, when people are searching, and sometimes Christians they need direction from God, but then sometimes people who aren't believers, they're wondering, is God really real? If people say, God, I am truly trying to find you. God, I am seeking you. Please come into my life. God will do that, won't He?
He will. And Alex, He desires to. It's not that He is trying to keep from it. His desire is He pursues us, is the word. I don't remember what theologian or evangelist said He's the hound of heaven, but it is so real. And the Reckless Love song that's come out recently, He'll leave the 99 and go after the one. That seems reckless to the world to give up, you know, keep 99 aside just to go for that one. But that's our God. He loves you. No matter where you are today, driving that truck, incarcerated, behind your desk, in your kitchen, bringing children home from school, or you may be one of the school children and you feel like no one cares. I want to tell you, there's this song that says, "No one ever cared for me like Jesus." Mm. Alex, there's no truer song that's ever been written. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. No one can they?
I know. And folks, I know probably the majority of people listening to this program know the Lord and believe in Jesus. Wonderful. But there's probably also some people listening, and you're just maybe at a place of desperation in your life. And I want to say this, and I wish I had adequate adjectives to convey what I'm trying to tell you. And this is not just pie in the sky. Listen, you need to understand God loves you, and God has a plan for you. He does. Now, it begins with you entering a relationship with Christ who loves you so. And I just want everybody listening to know that you matter to God. Bert, I was just on the phone with a gentleman from California, and he hasn't been able to work in 7 months because of COVID. And he was lamenting the fact that, you know, where he lives in California, it's like a hard lockdown. And, you know, very concerned about working, paying his bills. Okay, here's a verse. Psalm 139, verse 12 says, of God, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night to you, Lord, is bright as the day. See, we're in a tough place, but God sees and God is in control. And I would just implore you to put your life in God's hands, because no matter what you're facing, whether it's the economy or a job or a health situation or family struggle, whatever, come to Jesus.
Amen.
God has the answers, and He is for you.
Amen, Alex. He is for us, and we praise the Lord for that. And we're for you on Exploring the Word.
We are.
You know, we get emails, and just got an email about a person that's just so discouraged. And if you're discouraged and need wisdom, those two usually go together, discouragement and I need some wisdom. Read a psalm, or maybe more, sometimes five, and a proverb a day. Like today is the 21st, read Proverbs 21 today and look at it in a way, find Psalms and read it. And I want to tell you, it will feed your wisdom and it'll feed your soul. So it feeds your mind and feeds your soul. So if you're a believer, discouraged, saturate yourself in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will take that word and heal. Have you ever heard it? I think it's David Jeremiah on Route 66, his little a radio, 1 minute, he's
driving 66 chapters of the Bible.
Yeah, driving the word home, you know?
Yes,
and,
I love
and, it. And that will be true. Well, Alex, we do have people online. We got lines open, and that number is 888-589-8840. We're doing a Fire Away Wednesday. I know that doesn't sound like
good
that.
One.
But we just felt the need today. Let me just tell you what's coming up as you make that phone call. Alex's book that we talked about yesterday, and we're going to look at it from a biblical view, and next week we're really looking forward to it. Starting in November, we're looking at the Gospel of John. I'm anxious about that. I know you, if I remember it right, you and Marvin Sanders did the book of John early on. And
might have been the very first thing we ever did.
Well, it makes sense, because have you noticed we'll tell people, they'll say, okay, I've just been saved. What books should I read? And we usually say, well, the first gospel you need to read is John. We'll say read the book of 1 John. But yes, and I think that's going to be great. We're looking forward to that in November. But we're also next week tune in, and we're going to give you a biblical synopsis and a basis, I would say, of Alex's book. They can get your book still now, can't they, Alex?
Oh, yeah, at Amazon or at Barnes & Noble. The audio book is out there as well. It's on Kindle, but it's called The Assault on America, How to Defend Our Nation Before It's Too Late. And I think it's also on the, in fact, it is, it's on the AFA store, as in AFAstore.net.
Yeah, it took us a while to get that because they were waiting on it in so many places, and it worked out, and we praise the Lord. AFAstore.net, and those ladies would love, well, men too. There's some men that send it out, but it's the ladies that you'll probably talk with, or they'll answer. But, Alex, that's exciting, and next week we're going to be looking at that. Kind of anxious to do that because I've been reading it and trying to say, okay, I love this Bible verse. It really will help us to understand why we have hope in the midst of difficulty. So we're looking forward to that next week.
Let me say one thing real quick, and we're going to go straight to calls. But Bert, sometimes when you're stressed in life, you feel kind of trapped. And you people get discouraged and they think, you know, I just don't see how this is going to work out. I'm going to tell you something that's very liberating and it's very empowering. In Job 13:15, Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Because everybody was like, "Job, you've got all this bad stuff coming down on you. You know, maybe God's abandoned you. You know, curse God and die." Now, first of all, God is not going to slay you. But Job is saying, look, even though he would slay me, yet will I trust him. So here's something that will empower you as you navigate the challenging times of life. Purpose in your heart, no matter what happens, I am going to trust God because God is God and God has a way and God knows what's going on. And let me just say, folks, we could give so many testimonies. When you're willing to wait on God and walk with God, good things do come. They will. And so, Bert, I believe one of the most empowering things, it's very liberating to say, look, I don't care what this day throws at me. I'm going to trust God.
Amen. Alex, along with that, and we do go to the phone lines, I just can't resist John 6, when many of the disciples walked away from Jesus and Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" And Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." It is Jesus and Jesus alone that can give you your purpose that God created you for, knowing him and serving him. So thank you. Let's go to the phone line, at least get one question here before we go to break. We're going to go to North Carolina, Alex's great state, and talk to Daniel. Daniel, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, guys. I just had a quick question. I can hang up and listen. I was reading Exodus chapter 4 last night, and I came across verses 22 through 26. I've read it, you know, several times over the years, but I have a hard time comprehending that about he was talking about hardening Pharaoh's heart, but then all of a sudden it went to Zipporah cutting the foreskin off her son and throwing it and calling Moses a bloody man. I just really didn't understand that. Just trying to get some, see what you guys thought about it. But I certainly appreciate what you guys are doing.
Bye. Okay. Thank you, Daniel. Alex, don't have a lot of time. Let me make this. Moses was a good man, but he wasn't perfect. And he kind of, do you think he may have a little bit of an identity crisis? Am I an Egyptian or am I Hebrew? After he was, you know, he's there and now he's in the desert and the circumcision of his children. I always wondered about that identity. Go ahead, Alex.
Well, yeah, and I always wondered if Zipporah didn't understand or objected to circumcision. Like, you know, okay, she married Moses, and she was not originally an Israelite, and maybe she thought this was some barbaric thing here. She says, you're a husband of blood to me, as in a reference to circumcision. And the circumcision of the males was kind of a way of identifying that the Israelites, the Hebrews, were followers of the true God, and it identified them as followers of God. So I think that she at best doesn't understand it. She objects to that ritual, and she uses that kind of as a slander against Moses.
Okay. Well, Daniel, thank you for calling. We may make a comment about the hardening of the heart when we get back, and then we'll get to as many calls as we can today. Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word here on AFR.
Okay, some good news during a challenging time for everybody, and this could really help. You may know hundreds of thousands of people have already made the switch to MediShare, which is the affordable alternative to health insurance. And with so many people looking at how they pay for healthcare right now, seeing premiums going up or the cost of COBRA plans, MediShare has a special offer and a lot of people are taking advantage of it. Simply apply by October 30th and they will waive your new member fee. That's $170 savings. And of course, that's just a start. The typical family saves $500 a month after making the switch. MediShare is a Christian community that has shared over $4 billion in medical bills, and it's worked beautifully for decades. I'll give you the number here in a second, and if you call, You can get a price within 2 minutes. Just tell them the promo code SHARE to get your additional savings. Here it is. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
There's never been a time in U.S. history when culture and Christianity have clashed like they do today. And Dr. Tony Evans says it's not just affecting the church, it's targeting your children. He'll give some examples today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Even in primary school, your children are not learning the evolutionary theory. They're being taught the evolutionary fact. Because evolution is not just about how the world began. Evolution is about why man doesn't need God. And man doesn't need God so badly that God is not even necessary for creation. Evolution is a worldview that gets rid of the need for God through science, so-called. It is an educational process. Your kids are now learning in school that same-sex marriage is okay. They're learning in school. You don't have to think you're a man or you're a woman. You can be what you want to be because it's your thing. Do what you want to do. They're learning that in elementary school because the educational process has become idolatrous in the culture. So people are being taught, kids are being taught, and adults are being taught anti-Christian worldviews in the name of gaining knowledge. The culture has created an idol that is being informed through education so that we are reintroduced to another way of thinking.
Learn to counter the culture's influence on your kids and yourself. Check out Tony's CD series, American Idols, available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Let me go down, down, down in history.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Bert and Alex with you. We're cutting off quickly the song so we can get to your phone calls. Just let me share this with you concerning hardened heart. Don't harden your heart today. Say yes. Today's the day of salvation. Alex, everybody, God's desire is that all should come to repentance. So don't harden your heart. Come to Christ now and do it early. It's the best thing you can do, isn't it?
Well, it is, absolutely. And, you know, God made us as human beings with certain characteristics, one of which is free will, that we make choices. God offers the right way, but he doesn't force us. And, you know, sometimes, Bert, people get kind of tangled up in that. But let me say this. It's free will that makes it possible for us to have a relationship with God.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, it's the love of God that makes it possible for us to know Jesus and be saved. But God didn't make puppets. God didn't make robots. He made people. And so when it says that God, you know, well, let me just say this. We have to look at the tough scriptures in light of the scriptures that are a little more clear.
That's right.
And we know God doesn't sin. God doesn't cause iniquity. So when it says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart, the sovereignty of God and the free will of man worked together, and that was the result. Now, had Pharaoh yielded to the Lord, it could rightly be said God softened his heart. But whenever anybody digs in their heels and turns against God, and God is farther and farther away, and some people end up dying lost, it wasn't God's fault. He offered the right, but we have to choose to follow it.
Amen. The best thing, they work together. Do we understand all about it? Not everything, but we do understand. As Alex said, you start with that which is clear to go to the unclear. And it is clear God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. It's clear that God is love and he cares for you. And so come to Christ today. Bring that to everything you read in the scriptures. Well, let's go to Oklahoma and talk to Janet. Janet, welcome. Make sure your radio's off, Janet. Go ahead. Janie, I'm saying Janet. I think it's Janie, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Janie.
Okay, Janie, I'm sorry. It was my fault. I look at it wrong.
That's
go ahead.
Okay. That's okay. I am curious to know the difference. I have a friend who is a Seventh-day Adventist. They believe similar to, I grew up Foursquare, but I also am a Baptist now. But we believe basically the same. And I'm wondering, what's the difference? I know that they don't believe in the rapture, for one thing. And I'm curious what some other differences.
Okay, you're talking about Seventh-day Adventist, right?
Right.
Okay. Go ahead, Alex. I heard you say something.
You know, one of the big things would be that they believe that part of the gospel is observance of the Sabbath, the Saturday Sabbath, the seventh day of the week. And the word Advent means coming. The Adventist means that they do believe that Jesus is going to come back. But another thing that as I understand, I haven't studied it in a while, I think that they... I'm not saying they outright deny the doctrine of the Trinity, but they don't hold to it in the same way that classical Christian orthodoxy would. And a lot of what the Seventh-day Adventist is based on is the writings of a lady named Ellen G. White. Do you remember that name, Bert?
I do. We studied that in church history. Sure did.
Yeah, and let me just say this. In the aftermath of the Second Great Awakening, the middle of the 19th century, there were several things that came about, one of which was the Jehovah's Witnesses, one of which was the LDS Church, the Mormon Church, Christian Science. There were a number of denominations that kind of emerged. They're not really Christian denominations because they don't believe classical orthodoxy. And let me just say this, regardless of the Adventists saying that you've got to worship on Saturday, and if you worship on Sunday, that's the mark of the beast. I mean, just very outlandish things, out of step with Scripture, and I believe out of step with church history. But here's the thing. True Christianity, regardless of the label or the name of the movement or whatever, you have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, God incarnate. So you have to have an accurate view of Jesus, which I would say movements don't. But then you have to believe in the atonement, that when he went to the cross, he paid our sin in total. You know, we don't add to it. It's not Jesus plus keeping a Sabbath or Jesus plus something else. No, when he went to the cross, he paid every bit. And then we are saved by faith, not works. We put our trust in Jesus. Now, we believe Jesus is coming back, and there's views of end times scenarios that include the rapture and some don't. But, you know, Bert, I think regardless of the specific details, rapture, tribulation, Armageddon, or, you know, Christ's return, millennium, you've got to believe he's the Son of God.
Yeah.
And he paid it all. We receive it by faith, not works. And that Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we accept God as who he has revealed himself to be. And one final thing, and I'll throw to you. We don't put the words of man on par with the words of God. You know?
That's right.
I mean, I appreciate great writers. There's many writers that we reference. But the writings of Ellen G. White are not Scripture. The writings of any self-appointed, self-designated prophet, look, Genesis through Revelation, that alone is the written word of God. And Revelation 22 says that we don't add to it, do we?
We do not. We do not take away. Let me just say this, and I want to say this because I met people that are of different denominations. A lot of times they get into it because people care for them, and they love him, and they feel accepted. And I know some people that have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, got into a certain, I'd say, church or group or that, and they started listening to the teaching. They said, that's not quite what I've experienced. So what you want to do, you want to look at any church specifically, denomination, overall. What do they say about Jesus? That's the centerpiece of everything, is Jesus Christ. Is he the Son of God? Is that the only way you're saved? Through the atonement of the blood of Jesus Christ. There's some others, but Jesus is the centerpiece of that, and that's where you start. And That's so important. So thank you, Janie. Sorry I got your name. Hope you're having a blessed day. Let's go to Texas and talk to Keith. Keith, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, guys.
Yes, go right ahead.
Hey, this is a little off topic, but something came on Facebook the other day that caught my attention, and my question is, do we think that maybe the Biden-Harris campaign is teasing Christians? On a lot of their yard signs, it'll say text ready to 30330 or text united to 30330. Well, there's a guy that if you just get a calculator right now and you type in 2020 for this year and you divide it by 666, the mark of the beast, the number you come up with is 30330, and that's the number that a lot of those Biden-Harris signs have on there. So you think they're teasing with that, teasing us?
Okay, I had not heard that, anything about it. Let me just give you some hints, Keith. I don't know, and Alex probably knows and tell you, but I remember the Obama sign that he was traveling around with this airplane, you remember? And they were, you know, it's amazing. I'll put it this way, and I want Alex, because I don't know anything. I hadn't heard anything about it. I just missed that. It's amazing what you can do with numbers to make them work to get 666. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, that's interesting. And there have been examples where people bait Christians. And I'm not going to get into it, but there's been controversy over corporate logos and things like that. And let me say this, be careful. I I've read about it, the Joe 30330. I think it's a coincidence. I think it's a numerical coincidence. I would be very careful before you rush to the conclusion that it's, you know, part of the mark of the beast or something. Because when Christians are gullible, it makes the whole body of Christ look foolish. Now, let me say this, though. You don't need a numeric text code to realize that the Democrat platform is ungodly. Hey, you know, Biden saying in January of this year that you can't be a Democrat unless you're pro-choice. He said that this year. And being an enemy of Israel and advocating for open borders and opposing religious freedom and being for abortion and no legal protections whatsoever for the unborn. The Joe 3330 might be the mark of the beast. I don't think it is, but they were at enmity with God long before they set up that little texting thing.
You really do. And thank you, Keith, for bringing that to our attention. But again, I agree with Alex. If you've lived as long as me and you've seen people do something with Procter and Gamble, they see you do something with that. And I remember, you know, when they was trying to take prayer out of the school, and Madeline O'Hara had already died, but it was circulating to get a petition against her. You know, and it does. Be careful jumping on board on things like that. A good word of caution, Alex. Thank you, brother. We've got some lines open right now. We still got folks on the line, but we do have some lines open, and that number is 888-589-8840. And we're going to go to Oklahoma and talk to Catherine. Catherine, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I love your show. It's always learn and benefit. Brother Bert, you said something about the song Reckless Love. I am a musician, and we've had that song in our church. I have a different perspective on it. I feel that God is not reckless with anything, that he is intentional about everything. So I really have not appreciated that song to the degree, I guess, that some of my fellow Christians have, but I didn't know if you had ever thought about that.
Yes, I have. We've had that. It's from man's perspective. Songs come from two or three different ways, Catherine. Some songs are hymns. That's the reason I'll just admit, I'm putting myself out there, Alex, right now. Blended worship, where you have some older hymns, but you also have some newer songs, because he's put a new song in our heart, you know, taking us out of that horrible pit. From man's point of view, when you look at what God has done for us, bestowed upon us all from a perspective of man, how reckless that is when you could have 99 for sure and go after one. What have you heard? Do you remember that old saying, one in the hand is worth more than two in the bush? But you go after that one. And God, it's that perspective. It's not saying, oh God, you're reckless. But when I look at your love and what you were willing to do and for the world, that's the perspective that I look at it, Catherine. You know, and you can do that with several songs like that. You know, it's, and you've got to look from the perspective. Are they singing it from the perspective of look what God has done and look what God is doing? Or is it God, we teach in both? I think you need both to sing both, Alex. I love the perspective of I can only imagine. Will I stand before you, Jesus? Or, you know, what will I do? They add a lot to my life. Go ahead, Alex.
Well, yeah, and you know what? Let me just say this that before I, you know, make any remarks. Music is very subjective, and, you know, taste are hard to account for. You know, the old saying, there's no accounting for taste. But I kind of agree with the caller. And listen, I think I know the heart. When you talk about, you know, he loves me, loves like a hurricane. I mean, I've every time I'm in a church and they do that song, loves like a hurricane, I don't even know what that means. I mean, that might sound like good postmodern poetry. Hurricanes are destructive. Hurricanes cut a swath of destruction. But we've lived in a time, and again, I'm only speaking for Alex here. And if I hurt anybody's feelings, I beg your forgiveness, because again, this is, you know, personal preference. But, you know, there was a book a few years ago, Crazy Love. Well, God is not crazy. I know, listen, I think you can amply convey the unbounded, limitless love of God in that he so loved the world that he sent his only son. And there's a word, it's called to anthropomorphize something. So anthropomorphic from the word anthropology means to make something human. And I really think, and I know songwriters and preachers are trying to do good, and I don't mean to impugn their motives, but in trying to make God, he's so big and so wild and unbounded and crazy and reckless. No, God loves the world and he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. And I don't think we have to embellish God by over-the-top language. And some of the choruses and the songs do that. And I know, like from our perspective, you know, it sounds like heroic love. But you know, I'm a music snob and I'm a literature snob, and so words like that are a little more human emotion and less scriptural fidelity, I kind of like hold my nose. And if I'm offending anybody, forgive me. But I think that we don't need to recast God in our own likeness. We need to worship him in the likeness of himself that he's revealed.
Well, Alex, speaking for someone that loves the song, you didn't offend me.
Well, thank you.
And again, when I read some of the Psalms, let me just share with you, you find some of this same literature in my, if you look at the Psalms, you'll find some of the great statements that David made concerning dashing the stones. And I loved literature. I didn't do good in English grammar at all. I just barely got out of it, if you want to know the truth. But I enjoy the literature and the picturesque of that. And so that's the difference. But we appreciate it, Catherine. And again, thank you. Yes, it was. Thank you so much. We'll be back with more of your phone calls right after this break.
It is high time for the church to be outraged over what we've allowed to happen.
Will and Mickey Addison.
It's okay to have a righteous indignation. Yeah. You know, don't sin. And even with your words, you want to make sure that you're not being sinful. Yeah. But I think there's nothing wrong with being, you know, forceful or even like just straight up about evil and the wickedness that we see. Yeah. And addressing it, you know, with passion.
Airing the Addisons weekday afternoons at 2 Central on American Family Radio.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute. No way.
there's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
The ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. The book of Proverbs is one that flows with abundant insight for wisdom. It shows that one of the most prominent qualities of wise people is that they welcome and even celebrate life-giving correction. In today's world, overrun by cultural Marxism, there is much discussion as to what segments of our society hate themselves. Well, Proverbs gives the answer. He who rejects life-giving correction despises himself. The truest demonstration of self-hatred is revealed by knuckleheads who refuse to humble themselves and embrace life-giving correction. Loving rebuke saves lives. Correction displays love.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
David Farragut served in the War of 1812, the Mexican-American War, and the American Civil War. Starting as a flag officer, he advanced through the ranks to become the first Rear Admiral, Vice Admiral, and Admiral in the United States Navy.
During the Civil War Battle of Mobile Bay, legend has it, Admiral Farragut led the Union to victory after ordering his fleet through a labyrinth of floating mines, then called torpedoes.
His famous order has been memorialized in the phrase,
"Full speed ahead!"
A Bible belonging to Admiral Farragut is part of the extensive collection at Museum of the Bible, of Bibles owned by historical figures, all of them telling a part of the Bible's impact on the world.
Engage with the Bible and its impact on history, culture, and art.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C.
Now, back to the Bible study. You're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
It's about the cross.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Bert and Alex here. Again, we're going to get to as many phone calls as we can in this segment. And thank you for calling, so many of you. Let's go to Mississippi and talk to Jerry. Jerry, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Yes, Brother Bert, how you doing?
Doing fantastic, man.
Good. I was calling concerning the Pope's endorsement of civil unions.
Yes.
That they have a right to be a family as well. I was going to get your comment on that.
Okay. Alex, I'll make a short comment and you can expound on it. The Pope, in so many ways, has revealed a socialist idea, and this does not surprise me. Alex?
Yeah, I mean, this Pope is the most un-Catholic Pope maybe in our lifetime. You know, if you want to get some
history. The dogma
history,
does not live strongly in him.
That's a good thing. That's funny you would say that. Let me say this. There was a very good book a few years ago by a man named Peter Francisco called Vicars of Christ, V-I-C-A-R-S. And it's a history of some of the popes that did aberrant things. I mean, there were some popes, you know, hundreds of years ago that engaged in sexual immorality. But, I mean, this Pope, Pope Francis, has really been a pope that has spouted much heresy. And early in his papacy, he indicated that atheists go to heaven, just like believers. And then back in the 2016 campaign, and I commented on this right much in the press, he said that it would be a true Christian wouldn't vote for Donald Trump. I mean, the Pope indicated that. And I was like, you know, I was asking an interview, and I say this with all due respect, but we've got to remember, folks, we have got to remember. Here's all you need to know about the Pope story. That our authority is the Bible. And I said, look, this is the same Pope that says atheists go to heaven, and now from Vatican City he's saying true Christians wouldn't vote for Trump. I said, before he takes on an analysis of American politics, he might better get straight on who does and doesn't go to heaven. And I'm not trying to be flippant, but look, with civil unions or marriage, the Word of God is our standard.
It is.
And the Bible is very clear that marriage is between a man and a woman. Genesis 1:27, people are made male and female. Read 1 Corinthians 6. Unrepentant, do you know they won't go to heaven if they don't repent and believe? Murderers, liars, extortioners, immoral people. And yes, according to 1 Corinthians 6, unrepentant homosexuals don't go to heaven, don't inherit the kingdom of God. So this, you know, I've got to say, this Pope, at best, he needs to acquaint himself with the truth of God's word, and it may be that he needs to be born again. Only God knows his heart. I surely don't, but his fidelity to the word of God certainly has been sporadic.
Thank you, Jerry, for your call. Let's go to Texas and talk to Timothy. Timothy, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Brother Bert, Brother Alex, thank you guys so much for sharing the gospel and the word of God. I listen to you gentlemen every evening on the way home from work, and I appreciate the good feeding my soul gets.
Bless you.
Amen.
So one of your previous callers prompted a thought that I've had, and I just wanted to maybe get some biblical clarification on it. A young man called and asked about the texting and the mark of the beast. And in my heart, I've just always felt like the mark of the beast isn't going to be something that's snuck in or we're tricked into taking. I feel like that we're going to be very, very aware that it is the mark of the beast, and what we're accepting is that mark, and that it's not going to be a sneaky trick. I don't think that, you know, God would set it up where his people are getting tricked. Now, I believe the enemy may try to trick you, but I've just always felt like it would be a very aware decision you would make to take that mark. Was wondering if you could point me to something scripturally that would back that up.
Amen. Thank you, Timothy. I when you look at the book of Revelation and you get it, the mark of the beast, Alex, and it's in order to trade, in order to sell, and it would be voluntary. It doesn't say anything about them bringing you in and stamping it on you or even it being trickery, but it is trying to bribe you to the point of, hey, you can't do it without it. Is that your understanding?
Yeah, and you know, I would encourage people to read Revelation chapter 13 and Revelation chapter 18 to learn about this. But you know, Revelation 13 says that no one could buy or sell without the mark of the beast. And I agree with the caller. I don't think people are going to be tricked. I don't think there's anybody at the Great White Throne Judgment who says, oh my goodness, I had the mark of the beast. Oh, I had no idea. Let me just say this, folks. In Revelation 13, 15, and 16, that nobody could buy or sell, you know, if they were rich or poor, free or slave, unless they had a mark on their hand or forehead. I would say this, folks. Be cautious, because the mindset that would lull you into going with the flow. I mean, there are people nowadays, and they're like, well, you know, I'm pro-life, but hey, I don't want to ruffle feathers. I don't really talk about my beliefs. And I know I should stand up for morals and values in America, but, oh, if I put, you know, if I put a Trump sign in my yard, you know, people would, I'd lose friends, you know, and my, you know, best friend's kids are gay, but, you know, I don't want to ruffle any feathers. Let me say, the go along to get along, that mindset is the very same mindset that someday people are going to say, well, you know what, I know, but hey, I want to be able to buy what I need. You know, I guess here's my point, Bert. We have to count the cost. And Jesus, if he's Lord of our life, that has to be more important than popularity, more important than, you know, our pride or our social facade. And there's a price for following Jesus. And for some, it's going to be to give up their life even.
Yes.
And so
well,
we've
it
got,
will be. Yeah. It is right now. Okay.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily the mark of the beast, but in Nigeria, right now, in North Korea, there's people who are giving up their lives for Christ right now. And we in America, and again, I love America. Don't anybody, I don't want to hear anybody say you don't, but we have such a narrow view, if we're not careful, of it being America, when we have brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who are literally being slain for the gospel, Alex. And we need to understand that. So we need to get backbone and be ready if that time comes for us. Now, we won't be in the tribulation because I believe the church will be gone. But we need to be ready to suffer for his sake, don't we?
Well, here's the thing, folks. Do not let the approval of man be an idol. All right. We've done 46 Truth for New Generation conferences, and a number of times we've had my dear friend Ken Ham, who I love and believe in, and Genesis says God created in 6 days, rested on the seventh. Well, I have had a number, and believe me, folks, these are household names, and I'm not going to call them out right now. People would say, Alex, don't you dare put me on the same poster with Ken Ham, because he doesn't believe in evolution. I said, I don't believe in evolution. And they would say, yeah, I don't either, but if I was associated with the creation movement, I mean, people would think I was crazy. Folks, these are Christian leaders, apologists. And I'm like, you're an apologist, but you won't stand up for belief in Genesis. And they're like, well, I like to focus more on Jesus. Yeah, don't we all? But here's the thing, Bert, if we're going to take Jesus and salvation, we also, like Paul, have to bear the reproach of Christ. And you know what, folks? And trust me, I don't want to take up our whole time, but I've stood at universities and I've said marriage is between a man and a woman. And yes, God created. We did not evolve from Darwin's swamp. And I said, there's one way to heaven, Jesus. And yeah, I've had people laugh and make gestures, whatever. It doesn't matter. But Bert, if we're going to take the blessings of salvation, don't we also need to be willing to shoulder the reproach and scorn of a lost world?
What did Paul say? We love the power of the resurrection, but guess what? How about the fellowship of his suffering? And what we don't do well is suffer. Do you suffer well? I believe, regardless of how the election goes, I'm just telling you, believers in America better start getting ready to suffer well. By what I mean by that, in victory, yeah. counting the cost. And yes, so I do. Thank you, Timothy, for that good call. That wasn't Timothy. That was Jerry. Let's go to Timothy in Texas. He's our next caller. No, it's wrong. Okay, I'm getting all mixed up. It's Bill from Virginia, isn't it? I was right before I was wrong. Go ahead, Bill.
Sorry, is it Bill in Virginia?
Bill in Virginia. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I certainly appreciate both of you. During the pandemic, I've been a little more interested in apologetics than I have in the past. Been watching a lot of YouTube. And there's a well-known apologist, I won't name his name because I may have misunderstood what he was saying, but I don't think I did. And he was talking, someone asked him about a personal relationship with God and whether you could hear God's voice. And his take was, no, he did not think you could. And I wish I could have, I don't understand how there can be an impersonal love. Right? God loves us. We're called to love God with all our heart. How can that ever be impersonal?
Okay.
And then I have one other. Well, I'll just leave it at that. I may call with my other question another time because I know we're getting tight.
Thank you, Bill. I want to quote Adrian Rogers. We don't need to go a week without quoting Spurgeon, Havener, or Adrian Rogers. Adrian Rogers said, "Somebody asked him, did God speak to him, and you know how was it?" Did he whisper to him? And Dr. Rogers said, no, it was much louder than that. You know, God speaks to his children, but you've got to understand the Holy Spirit, don't we, Alex, of his speaking and leading?
Yeah, well, you know, by definition, salvation is personal, you know, because the word, something that's personal, a personal experience, a personal relationship, that means something that affects a specific person, not general. Now, you know, everybody knows there's a God, that's Psalm 19, but salvation is a personal relationship that an individual has with Jesus. And I do think God leads, and yes, I think God speaks to Christians, but here's one of the parameters that we have to acknowledge. He will never lead you to do something contrary to his word. I mean, over and over, the word of God attests to its own authority. Jesus also pointed to that. And so I would say this, if you think you're being led by God, or you think you've gotten a directive from God, make sure it squares up with the Bible. Because if you're feeling led to do something contrary to the word of God, then that is not from Jesus.
Okay. Thank you so much, Bill. I'm sorry. Get mixed up. We're going to try to get one more call in. It have to be quick. Let's go to Gene from Illinois. Gene, we don't have a lot of time. Go right ahead.
Oh.
Yeah, Gene, go ahead.
Yes, I'm here.
Go right ahead.
Yes, I was just kind of curious about what the actual day of the Sabbath is on. I've heard Saturday, I've heard Sunday, but I'm just really confused. I mean, I've been a Christian and a lover of God for probably 11 or 12 years, but I've just
okay. I'm cutting you off because I don't have a lot of time. Back when before they had a 24-hour, 12-hour clock, they went by the sun. Friday at sundown and Saturday, Saturday morning? But in Friday, what was it, Alex? Go ahead. Friday at sundown, I know.
Yeah, Friday at sundown. The Sabbath is and has always been Saturday, seventh day of the week. And let me say, when Christians worship on Sunday morning, it's not that for Christians, Sunday is now the Sabbath. Because if you read Hebrews 4, we are perpetually in that Sabbath rest in Jesus. The church worshiped on Sunday because that was resurrection morning. Now, let me just say this regarding the Sabbath. You know, Jesus fulfilled all the mandates of the Old Covenant and the law of God. Philippians 3:3 says that in Christ Jesus, we are the circumcision. So circumspect, 360 degrees. See, in Jesus, you've kept the Sabbath. You've kept all the law of Moses. So Saturday's the Sabbath. We worship on resurrection morning on Sunday. But praise God, in Jesus, the law of Moses is fulfilled because he completely fulfilled it for us.
Yeah, when you start reading the Gospels, you'll find they tried to get Jesus in the tomb before Friday sundown, and they were there very early, Sunday morning after the Sabbath. So Saturday is the traditional day. It still is by most. Praise the Lord. Alex, Jesus is our Sabbath. He's our rest, isn't he?
He is. Folks, thanks for listening to Exploring the Word. Tune in again tomorrow. Listen to all the great programming on American Family Radio. And please tell somebody about Exploring the Word. But most of all, tell everybody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.